You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Hey, everybody, welcome in. We say hello to you on a Monday here in the capital city. Jimmy B and TC, we roll all the way till 6 o'clock tonight. And then immediately following our show, we get you ready, of course, for Monday Night Football. Great program lined up for you today. Steve Batterson, Quad City Times, will join us on the University of Iowa and the dumpster fire that game was over the weekend. Chris Dobertine, SB Nation, college basketball bracketology coming up at 4:40. 5:15, Mitch Sherman from ESPN and the Big 12, and Ryan Van Bibber at 5:35 on the NFL. My partner from another mother, how are you, man?
Jimmy B, I'm not a partner from another mother. You're maybe, I don't know, grandmother? I don't know where you're going with that every day. Where are you
Could be great-great-grandmother.
Yeah, my mom punch you in the nose if she'd be hearing you say things like that. She's 30 years younger than you, Jimmy B, for crying out loud.
Did you have a good weekend?
No, I know you are. It was awful. It was god-awful, Jimmy B. And it got even worse here today as Iowa completely craps the bed against Louisiana Lafayette, a middling Sun Belt team, and they got beat up bad. They got beat up by a team that, frankly, they should not get beat up by. And I understand Nicholas Baer, he's out of this game. Connor McCaffrey is going to be out for the foreseeable future as he's battling mono. I get all these things, but the concerns that were out there with this team in the backcourt, they came up in a big level. Early on in the basketball game today, it was a huge issue for Jordan Bohannon. Now, he helped get Iowa at least back with a outside opportunity to get back in it, though they never really did. But he struggled early on. And they don't have anybody they can turn to. With no Christian Williams now on this roster, there is not another player on this team that they can turn to as a point guard. That's the reality of the situation. And as good as the front court can be, as talented of guys as they have up front, without guards in college basketball, Jimmy B, you're going to be in trouble. And at the beginning of the game, we saw just that. They struggled. Jump shots weren't there. Couldn't hit anything. Tight rims, whatever excuse you want to have, they weren't hitting shots. And on the other side, Louisiana Lafayette, they were brutal early on themselves, but they settled in. They were able to get to the rim. Iowa couldn't stop dribble penetration. And here you are. You're beat by Louisiana Lafayette. We talked about the schedule during the season before it began, and you didn't have wiggle room. This was one of the issues that you have when you play a schedule and you play this many bad basketball teams. Look, Louisiana Lafayette is not a bad basketball team. There is no problem at all playing this game, but you can't lose it because now you got to go and you have to beat a team like a Virginia Tech on the road, a difficult thing to do. You have to beat a resurgent Iowa State team. You have to do it on the road. You can't afford a loss to Colorado on a neutral floor. Your wiggle room is out the window already, and it's November 20th.
Let me drop the stat of all stats on you. Louisiana, 48, Iowa, 26. Trent, that's the point production in the paint. Louisiana doubled up Iowa in the paint in scoring. What happened to this enormous line that everybody talked about? Garza was mediocre, to say the least, and sat the pine. Nunji made a couple from the outside. Cook was just so-so. They got outscored in the lane 48-26. I mean, that should not have happened in this game today. And look, that's, I guess for me, that's the most frustrating stat. That and being down 20, you only scored 17 points in the first half? Come on. And you're absolutely right about the bad non-conference schedule that they have. And it could come back to bite them in the butt unless they make a terrific run. And look, I know it's November, and are we overreacting? Maybe a little bit, but I don't think anybody saw this coming, Trent. I think everybody was pretty much looking forward to an Iowa-Cincinnati championship matchup, and then you could gauge where you thought Iowa was really going to be.
You mentioned the big guys, and it's you can't just blame it on them that the big guys got dominated because it was a lot more dribble penetration. It was guys getting into the lane and having really easy shots from in there. And you also have to put this in the guards. And the guard play on the other side, Frank Bartley, Marcus Stroman, no, not the pitcher of the Blue Jays, a different guy. What they did is they got up in Jordan Bohannon, they got up in his jockstrap, and they were making it difficult on him. And this was has continued to be the concern with Jordan Bohannon, even as well as he played at the end of the season last year, putting up double-doubles, shooting from all over the place, beating Maryland and Wisconsin on the road with some big shots. Even with that, there are teams, there are matchups that Jordan Bohannon just struggles with from a physicality standpoint. And you saw it again today in this basketball game. Guys that were quicker than him, they're able to get in the lane. They changed, they moved over, they started to play more zone defense, and they were able to at least force some missed shots out of that. The problem, they were giving up offensive rebounds. When you are in a zone, it's more difficult to rebound, and you saw that be the case. But on top of it, Bohannon, it's not like he was getting good looks inside to Tyler Cook. He wasn't getting Luka Garza in space down low where he could go to work and operate down there. And because of that, well, you're left with those two guys going 2 of 7. Two guys you expect. Yeah. You expect Tyler Cook and Luka Garza to put up double-digit points and certainly do that when the tallest guy that plays for Louisiana Lafayette is 6'7". You expect those guys to each get 7, 8, 10 shot opportunities inside, and it wasn't the case. Blame them all you want, but you also have to blame the guards. You have to get them in a spot where they can be effective, and the guards didn't do that today.
What do you take back also about how shabby the defense was as well? In that first half, the Raging Cajuns just were like walking right past them. It was like, hola! Well, and they just let them go to the basket.
It was the changing defense. They couldn't stop dribble penetration, Jim. I mean, you know basketball, you get to the lane, it's pretty easy, right?
Yep,
all it was.
It is.
They tried to pick up the tempo. They went with a lot of full court press. They gave up layups out of that. They weren't getting back. It was an ugly game. And after the game, you have Jordan Bohannon. He goes all Aaron Rodgers, and he just tweets out, relax. Slow down, Jordan Bohannon. You're not Aaron Rodgers here. This is a loss. This is not losing a game in the NFL. This is losing a game early in the season. I get that, but I think a pretty damning loss. And for all the national prognosticators out there that were saying they didn't have him in the tournament, they didn't have him being an NCAA tournament team, and we questioned that, Jimmy B, and maybe they were onto something here because Connor McCaffrey is not coming back anytime soon. Christian Williams is never coming back. Unless Macy Daly can give them some good minutes, where are your guards? A lot of marks out there. Brady Ellingson, another 0-3 performance from the field from him. No assists as he was playing that backup point. As a whole, 10 assists as a team on 22 made field goals. It was an ugly, ugly basketball game. We'll see if they respond. They have to. It'll happen bright and early at 11 tomorrow.
Well, you got that right. Against Mike Dom, too.
Yeah.
And I'm really looking forward to watching him play. He's fun to watch, and the dude can really, he can really play, Trent. But I don't think he's got a lot of support there, right?
No. This is not certainly. They're all right. They're kind of like Louisiana Lafayette. They're a solid mid-major team. If Iowa plays like they did in the first half today, they're going to lose to South Dakota State.
They're going to lose again. Yep.
I expect them to rebound and play much better tomorrow, but we'll keep an eye on that one. So from the negativity of what happened today to over the weekend in Iowa State, a team that we had buried just a week ago, Jimmy B, and here come the Cyclones with their new point guard, Nick Weiler-Babb.
Hey, listen, I was shocked when I was watching it as well, just like you. But you know what? The dude can handle, and he can dish, and he calmed down that rattled offense with his ability to make everybody, hey, just chill, we got this. And look what they did. They all of a sudden had some spread on the floor. They got some open looks. They had a few fast breaks. The whole dynamic of the offense changed when he started to really take over and captain the team. And then Wigginton started to score.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that has now given them a 3-game winning streak. They win the tournament, played in Myrtle Beach. And now they, you know, they're in a great spot right now. And I think all of a sudden, with what everybody saw in those three games, you saw in the first game, okay, improvement. The second game, improvement. The third game, major improvement. This is going to be interesting if they can keep this up.
Yeah, now, again, who they beat is not a who's who of college basketball.
Right, I got you.
App State, Tulsa, Boise State, but it gives you hope.
Yeah.
It gives you hope that you know, we're talking about, hey, can this team be an NIT team? Yeah, absolutely. The schedule sets up very well now, kind of going forward. They'll get Iowa a couple weeks ago away in that game in early December. You and I in the Big Four Classic, but overall, everything else other than that, nothing that should make you nervous before you get into conference play. So Iowa State completely changed things. Lindell Wigginton, and that was the thing that I kind of warned people about with Lindell Wigginton, is he wasn't a point guard in his high school team. Now, he played at Oak Hill. You know, you play at Oak Hill, you know you got to be a pretty good basketball player, and there's going to be some other good players along there. But he was an off guard. He played the off guard position, and because of that, He needs some time to develop at that spot. It was Matt Coleman at Texas, who's down at Texas as a freshman right now, that was a point guard of that team. And taking some of those responsibilities away helped out Wyler Babb, what he was able to do. And it also seemed like this helped out Donovan Jackson. He played just at such a high level. Last night was ridiculously good, hitting 4 3-pointers, 9 of 15 from the floor, 26 points. All of a sudden, you got a ball team. And, hey, over the weekend, we finally get to see Cameron Laird in a real live basketball game, Jimmy B.
Yeah, and then he gets hurt. He tweaks his ankle or knee there, and he's limping all over the place. I felt so bad for the kid. He has a double-double, and then the next thing you know, he's hobbling around the next night. I felt bad for him. I really did.
Well, we will see on his injury as he bounces back. They got some time to heal, though, as their next game will not be until Saturday when the Leathernecks come to town. But Jimmy B, we got a whole winter to talk basketball. On the football side of things, well, kind of a tale of two sides of the state as well. Iowa, brutal loss to Purdue. I was nervous all week about that game. I told you, Jimmy B, I just had one of those feelings, and it turned out to be the truth. And on the other side, Iowa State goes down. Dangerous game, and they just, again, find a way to win a football game.
You know, it was funny because I remembered our conversation on Friday. Both of us took Purdue. And I think I'm pretty sure both of us picked Purdue to win the game despite getting the points. And we know the dumpster fire that Iowa was in that game. On the Iowa State Baylor game, the line that we had was 9.5. And I remember saying, hey, if they win by 10, I win. And they ended up winning by 10 points. Amazing how that kind of plays out. Let's quickly start with what happened in Iowa City. And once again, the Hawkeyes looked ill-prepared and unable to really make halftime changes. And then Purdue picks on a cornerback and goes right down the field and scores. So what do? They move Jackson over to that cornerback spot. What does Purdue do? They go back to the other side. I'm telling you, I don't know what it is, Trent, and I'm sure that we'll figure it out once the season is over. But the lack of preparation these last two games and the inability to make changes on the fly, it's amazing that this particular staff and players are unable to do that.
I don't think it's a lack of preparation, Jimmy B. What I think it is a lack of thinking outside of the box. It is continually, we are going to do what we do as Iowa football, and that's not going to change. And that's why I was another big proponent of Brian Ferentz becoming the offensive coordinator. I wanted to see them go outside the box, go out and bring some new ideas. And the only team that they've been effective against was Ohio State. In the Ohio State game, they did bring some wrinkles. They did do some different things. But the last 2 weeks, it was back to, this is what we do. We run the football on first down. All right, that's not going to work. And then we're going to throw it after that doesn't work on second down. And then we're looking at a third and long, and it is the same things over and over again. You couple that with the boneheaded decision to go for two after you make it a 9-point game at 24-15. You extend the game in that spot. You make it a one-possession game. Yes, you have to get two at some point. I get that. But look at the NFL yesterday. Look at Sean Payton, who I would put higher in my hierarchy of coaches and what they do than Kirk Ferentz. Does he go for two after the first touchdown? No. He kicks the extra point. He cuts it to eight. Yeah. They get it back. Yeah. They score. And with the Redskins on their heels, they get the two-point conversion. It is also, it's not just strictly about the numbers, because the numbers say, yes, you have to get two at some point. But it's also the psyche. The psyche of Purdue, a team that has lost a bunch of close games this season and a bunch of games throughout, well, the time that all these guys have been out there playing on the football field for Purdue. And you have that mental edge. If Iowa does get the football back, either with the onside or with a couple of 20, 30 seconds left after getting a three and out, they would have had a shot. And if you score a touchdown to make it 24-22, don't you think just maybe there might be a little bit of doubt creeping into the mind of the Purdue Boilermakers?
I would have thought so. I'm right with you, pal. I was stunned when they lined up for two at that time. I really was. And look, and you were right, when you go back and look at the games in which Purdue has lost, they've lost them down the stretch, and they probably would have been on their heels, just like you stated. But no! No! No, we're gonna try it right now. We're gonna go for two right now. And then it failed miserably.
As bad as the call was, Jimmy B, the call was bad. I hated going for two there. The play call might have been even worse, because if that was the first route, if that was the first read for Nate Stanley, a fade out to the back corner is a terrible throw, terrible execution. If that's the first read, that's an even worse play call on top of it. It makes my blood boil, and we got to take a break. We'll come back. Steve Patterson. Okay. Hopefully he can calm my nerves just a little bit. We'll come back.
I doubt it.
Yeah, exactly. A rough weekend for the Hawkeyes, a great weekend for the Cyclones. That is where we are here on a Monday. Back with more, Steve Patterson from the Quad City Times. He joins us next on Jimmy B and TC.
1700 KBGG brings you Westwood One coverage of the NFL all season long through the Super Bowl.
If you're sick and tired of the same old delivery options, I have an idea for you. It's Food Dudes Delivery. Food Dudes Delivery delivers for restaurants that normally don't deliver food. And with over 50 restaurants across the metro, Food Dudes Delivery can find whatever you're craving. And for listeners of Jimmy B and TC, $2 off any order of $20 or more. Just use the coupon code JBTC. That's JBTC for $2 off your next order of $20 or more. Food Dudes Delivery. Online, Food Dudes Delivery.
Sponsored by AccountTemps. Tis the season for year-end projects and increased workloads. AccountTemps has perfectly matched candidates that make closing out the year a breeze. Visit AccountTemps.com to learn more. AccountTemps, a Robert Half company.
Tonight on the CW's new military drama, Valor, when life and death are just part of the job.
Every second counts.
Even the best.
Eye on the prize. There's no room for mistakes.
And I won't make any.
Can be their own worst enemy.
Why does a guy who's been to hell and back suddenly question everything?
Everybody's got a breaking point.
Valor, following Supergirl. All new tonight on the CW.
Don't miss Valor, tonight at 8, followed by CW Iowa News at 9.
The way we see it in Iowa, it takes three things to push snow for a living. A truck, a blade, and a relentless, unwavering work ethic. So when it comes to the blade, choose one that matches your rugged resolve. Like the Fisher Plow's HD2 straight blade from Schuling Hitch. Forged from high-strength, powder-coated steel, the Fisher HD2 will stand up to harsh Iowa winters and be with you storm after storm. Learn more about this and other Fisher Plows at Schuling Hitch Company in Des Moines and Ames.
Holidays are about family, traditions, and heritage. If you're Irish, Welsh, or Scottish, the only place to find unique Celtic gifts is a Celtic Tradition. Open house Saturday the 25th and Sunday the 26th. Sample some Celtic sweets.
A Celtic Tradition. 7672 Hickman Road, Windsor Heights.
When you're hungry for great food, a tasty cocktail, or a good glass of wine, a friendly atmosphere and fast attentive service, remember Jesse's Embers at 3301 Ingersoll Avenue. Open Monday through Saturday for dinner and Monday through Friday for lunch beginning at 11 a.m. Jesse serves just about everything, including some of the best steaks you've ever tasted, cooked on an open grill, located right inside. The smells are fabulous. And Marty or Dina stop to check on your meal, and the bartender as well. They're on your side. Jesse's Embers on Ingersoll, just west of 31st Street.
Hey, it's Trent Condon here from Jimmy B and TC. If you've been talking and thinking about improving your health, I have an idea for you. Do what I did. Call New Leaf Wellness. My weight had been increasing, my endurance during workouts was waning, and I was just feeling sluggish. New Leaf Wellness put together a program to help me lose weight, improve my energy, and they can do the same for you. Call New Leaf Wellness today at 515-650-1358 to schedule a free, no obligation consultation. That's 515-650-1358. 1358 for New Leaf Wellness. And tell them TC sent you.
Black and Cardinal Divide is the first website dedicated to the Cy-Hawk rivalry. We cover both the Hawkeyes and the Cyclones.
This is Cody, and I cover Iowa State.
And I'm Derek, his younger brother, who covers the Hawkeyes.
We'd like to encourage you to jump over to bcdivide.com. Tune in Wednesdays and Thursday nights as we will talk all things Cyclones and Hawkeyes.
Jump over to bcdivide.com. Join us for daily banter and our social media pages at bcdivide. As brothers and fans of different teams, we grew up with a heated Cy-Hawk rivalry within our own family.
Join us at bcdivide.com to embrace the rivalry.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we believe in honest work, a fair price, and work we stand behind. And our 10-year workmanship warranty proves it. We know roofing. With our one-day get-it-done approach, we're known as a roofing machine. Call Wolf Construction for a free estimate at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. At Wolf Construction, we take your roof personally.
Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy B and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
All right, everybody, welcome back in. We continue all the way till 6 o'clock tonight, and then we have the Monday night football game. It is Seattle and Atlanta. Joining us right now, Steve Batterson, Quad City Times. He comes to us on the Big Talker 1700. Steve, was your weekend survivable, even though it's been a dumpster fire on the football field and on the basketball court?
I made it through to Monday, so yeah, I'm here with you, and yeah, we forge ahead here. Better days ahead for Hawkeye fans, probably.
Well, you sound very positive, and it's difficult on a day like this maybe to put a lot of positive spins out there. Let's start on the football side of things. The loss to Purdue, a team that we know is pretty good defensively, could stop the run. The game plan, though, lacked a whole lot of ingenuity. It was kind of what you get out of Iowa football. And you know, looking back to the Ohio State game, that brought so much hope that things were changing, that they were going out there and attacking in a different kind of way. Are we going to look back at that Ohio State victory of one of the great anomalies, not just to college football this year, but maybe a sports in 2017? I don't like to be hyperbolic, but boy, looking what Ohio State is and what they have been since then, and looking what Iowa's been since then, I don't know if there's anything quite like that.
Fool's gold, yes. It's not unlike what Purdue accomplished last weekend against Iowa. I mean, it was a situation where, you know, the Hawkeyes came out and executed at a pretty high level against Ohio State and won a game that, you know, nobody really gave them much of a shot to win. And, you know, the flip side of that happened last weekend at Kinnick. And, it's one of those things on any given Saturday. I'm sure Michigan State didn't anticipate going into Columbus the week after the Iowa game and getting its socks blown off either. So that's the way the game is now. And this Iowa team has been so inconsistent offensively. And given the shortcomings there, given the issues on special teams, you really don't know what you're going to get in any given week. And we certainly have seen that throughout the month of November, which traditionally is a very good time for Iowa football. And it certainly hasn't been, at least since November 4th, it hasn't been so far this year.
All right, then help me out, Steve. Is it the personnel on the field? Is it coaching? Because they sure can't seem to make stuff up. They can't even draw a play in the sand over by the benches to change things up at all. What are they just so locked in that this is who we are and this is what we do? We ain't changing.
I think it's a combination of things. I mean, I think if you take a look at that offensive line, Iowa did not anticipate having to start two freshmen for the course of the season as they've done. Tristan Wirfs is certainly getting a baptism by fire here this month, and you know, he's had better days and he's had some poor days. And you know, that's to be expected when you have a guy out there who has all the talent in the world and is going to be a fine offensive lineman for Iowa down the road. But right now, he's learning as he goes. And it's led to some inconsistency in Iowa's offense. It's led to some wide open routes for Nate Stanley to end up on his tail end. And those kinds of things, whether it be a false start or whether it be, a sack, they're drive killers. And in that case, it doesn't really matter what you're doing. If you're sitting there looking at 3rd and 13 in the face, everybody knows what you're going to do in that situation. And frankly, it's just played into the opponent's hands there. There was a lack of creativity in play calling last week, and I felt like, not unlike the Ohio State game when Ohio State showed up at Kinnick and just thought they could play their normal stuff and handle Iowa. I thought there was kind of a little bit of disrespect isn't the right word, but I feel like that Iowa thought it could just show up and be Iowa and that Purdue would, politely go away as it did last year in West Lafayette. And, the fact that they weren't able to adjust during the game is somewhat disturbing. Some of that has to do with personnel. I mean, and down and distance situation and that type of thing. But you're right. There wasn't a lot of creativity. And should there be? Yeah, probably a little more. We saw some certainly against Ohio State, which was a game where there had to be some creativity for Iowa to have a chance.
So you mentioned special teams and another punt that gets away this time. You saw Matt Vandenberg go up, try to catch it, and then fumbles it away. But maybe a bigger point than that, the punting game. And we saw Colton Rastetter lose his job for a moment to Ryan Gersande, the true freshman. He hasn't seen any time since then. Maybe crazy here, but Miguel Racinos, we've seen plenty of specialists in college football do both the kicking and punting. You have to be careful with that. You have to keep their leg fresh, certainly in practice. Any talk at all, Racinos? Can he punt it? Because they need help wherever they can find it.
Nate Stanley's probably been their most consistent punter right. So far this season.
You're right.
He's had a couple that have really kind of bailed him out of some tough spots. But, there hasn't really been much talk at this point of going with anybody other than the two guys who've been there. And, we certainly haven't seen Gersande since his cameo a few weeks back. And I understand that there's been some sort of a slight injury situation there that's kind of impacted his availability. But Rastetter has been as inconsistent now as he was at the start of the season. Now that the weather has turned, it was a bear the other day for anybody trying to punt into that wind. And the results speak for themselves. I mean, you can't average 31.5 yards if you're not going to move the ball out to around midfield. And that was part of Iowa's issue, its inability to gain a first down or two, to just put themselves in a position where, a short punt isn't going to kill you. That made all the difference in the world.
All right, so you talk to Hawk fans, you read some of the goofy message board stuff, but the majority of the comments, you tell me if these people are hitting the nail on the head that I have heard, and that is that Brian Ferentz should have cut his teeth as an offensive coordinator, at least in the MAC or the Sun Belt, but not as a beginning OC in the Big Ten. Fair? Not fair? Where are you?
It's a tough assignment. I think the fact that he is surrounded by people who've been in that situation is probably a benefit. Ken O'Keefe is there on a daily basis. Tim Pawlacek was an offensive coordinator at North Dakota State. He's got personnel around him who've been in that situation, who should be able to help him kind of get through some of these things. Some of this is learning as he goes. There's no question about that. But a lot of it, I think, is personnel-based. We talked, ad nauseum over the offseason about the lack of receivers within this program, and that certainly has played out over the course of the year. And his teams have figured out that if you just smother the tight ends, take them out of the passing game, Iowa's hope becomes either you run the ball or else you have a receiver who can actually catch it. The number of drops that we've seen in the past couple of weeks, 10 and 11 weeks into the season is somewhat disturbing. And that's something that certainly has been as much of a factor as anything else.
Yeah, Jim Leonard is on his first year calling defenses over with Wisconsin. He's not doing too bad over there. I don't think you need to cut your teeth on things. I think it's more something schematic. So we go from bad to maybe even worse. They'll lose to at least a Big Ten conference team in Purdue. Iowa goes down to the Cayman Islands. Many people thought an NCAA tournament team. They lose to Louisiana Lafayette. Defensively, they were giving up dribble penetration throughout the first half. Couldn't shoot a lick. Ugly. Louisiana Lafayette, a decent mid-major, but this is not the start to the season I think a lot of people envisioned.
No, not at all. And it's, you know, if you take a look at you know, Iowa's first three opponents, I mean, it, you know, they weren't the best. And when you put yourself in a situation where, you know, things are maybe cruising along pretty easily against competition, and we've touched on this in past seasons as well, I'm not a big fan of Fran's non-conference scheduling, and I think when you're playing those teams that are 300 and plus in terms of the RPI, I think you're asking for trouble. You develop that kind of false sense of security. And Iowa's defense was not good today. Certainly their inside play was lacking on both ends of the floor. And, you know, to get off to the kind of start that they did, you know, is very disappointing in terms of where they're at right now. And, you know, and the thing that you take out of that, it becomes a real missed opportunity, because now you drop into the backdraw of that tournament. And instead of maybe having a chance to help yourself from a strength of schedule standpoint on day two and day three, you're now playing teams that probably are not going to benefit you that much. So, you know, the issue kind of compounds itself moving forward. And you know, tomorrow they're going to see a South Dakota State team that is, you know, is a solid Summit League team. They're not a great team by any stretch of the imagination, but Iowa better show up ready to go, or they certainly are capable of giving the Hawkeyes some problems.
You know, it's interesting because they do have two guys that aren't playing, and in Bear and McCaffrey. But still, the team that they played against, they had more than enough talent to win that game, right?
Absolutely, yeah. The strength of this Iowa team is going to be its balance, and it has to be there. And it wasn't there today. The inside players were kind of no shows. They got a little too perimeter happy, and I think that you know, they have to figure that out. And you know, this is a good time of year to do that. You know, one loss probably isn't going to kill you, but if it becomes a trend, then you've got a problem. And you know, Iowa is going to have to you know, kind of reestablish itself here the next couple of days. And you know, if they come out of there with a couple of wins, a 2-1 record, record-wise, you're probably sitting okay. But I think right now the biggest thing is going to be, what do they learn from this loss, and how do they build off of it?
Mentioned Nicholas Bear, a guy from your neck of the woods there over in Bettendorf. Steve, it was 3 to 4 weeks we were told he was going to be out with that broken finger. The earliest would have been this tournament. Obviously, we didn't see him today. Any chance at all that we're going to see him over the next 2 days, or is it going to be probably against Virginia Tech in the ACC Big Ten Challenge?
Yeah, I think it's probably next week at best, and they need him back on the court. I mean, he certainly adds to the mix and brings some experience to the table, and you know, with Christian Williams walking away, you know, Connor McCaffrey needs to get out there as soon as possible as well. But it sounds like that's going to be a couple weeks down the road as well. So, you know, it's a situation where you can't control injuries, but. Certainly Bear either is, you know, that spark off the bench, which he's, you know, done so well over the past couple of years, or you know, factoring into a lineup situation. You know, I think those are things that, you know, certainly would benefit Iowa moving forward. And as much as anything, I think they'll be able to gain from his experience.
Steve, we won't touch base with you because of Thanksgiving until maybe next week. So your take then on the battle for two teams that are going pretty much nowhere coming up on Black Friday.
Well, you know, the great thing is that Nebraska's defense is about as bad as it gets in the Big Ten in terms of, you know, giving up yards on the ground. They gave up over 600 total to Penn State last weekend, and and you know, are averaging like 205 or so allowed per game. Now, the bad news on that is Iowa is averaging about 107 yards rushing in Big Ten play. So, you know, something's going to have to give Friday. Both of these teams have been notoriously so slow starting teams this season. So, you know, it sounds like it's going to be a nice, pleasant day for late November in Lincoln, and that's probably a good thing, and that might be the best thing that comes out of this because, you know, it looks like certainly Nebraska is headed towards probably a coaching change after this game. At least it appears that way. And, you know, I was looking to regain some sort of momentum heading into, you know, wherever the bowl opportunity may come. You know, from that standpoint, it becomes a pretty big game for them. In listening to Nebraska guys today, they're pretty geeked up about the chance to play Iowa. This is kind of a chance for a large group of seniors. They've got 22 to kind of make amends for a couple of losses to the Hawkeyes and maybe salvage at least a little something out of a season that's gone south.
Yeah, Iowa looks like they forgot that there was a little bit more to the November schedule after that game against Ohio State. Steve, as always, great catching up with you. Let's do it again soon. Thanks for your time today.
Hey, you bet. My pleasure.
Steve Batterson, Quad City Times, with us. We'll come back, and while we go from the Big Ten and the Iowa Hawkeyes, we're going to talk a little Big 12 on the other side. And Jimmy B, there is still an opportunity for Iowa State to play for a Big 12 title.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. I mean, it really is when you think about everything that has taken place now. And with Kent State win at Oklahoma State, what a wild game that was. It's still there. Now, a couple of things have to happen. And of course, Iowa State has to win that game at K-State, but they have to get some help as well. Several teams will have to lose in order for Iowa State to make it into that Big 12 championship game.
There's still a chance. We'll take a break.
Yep.
Come back, talking Big 12 football with Mitch Sherman. He's next on Jimmy B and TC.
First Light with Evan Hanning, every weekday from 8 to 9 a.m. on the Big Talker, 1700 KBGG.
Guys, are you ready to begin your journey to live life better? Are you feeling tired and worn down, or looking to improve performance and drive in the bedroom? Looking to burn fat and gain muscle? Then it's time to contact New Leaf Wellness. New Leaf Wellness offers a free, no-obligation consultation. Dr. Robert Seaman and the New Leaf staff will help craft a plan dedicated to you. From testosterone replacement therapy, advanced weight loss, to nutritional therapy, New Leaf Wellness strives to find the plan that will improve your quality of life. Dr. Robert Seaman and New Leaf Wellness, give them a call today at 515-650-1358. Again, 515-650-1358 for New Leaf Wellness. One more time, 515-650-1358. It's time to live life better with New Leaf Wellness. Call 515-650-1358. That's 515-650-1358.
Villaggio Italian Restaurant brings real homemade Italian to you. Fantastic food, great service, and an elegant vibe that feels like home. All your favorites from the original in Norwalk and an expanded menu with the newest location on 100th Street in Urbandale. Plus, one of the best happy hours in the metro from 3 to 6 each weekday. When you're thinking Italian, make it Villaggio. Pizza, pasta, sandwiches, and more. Two locations, Sunset Drive in Norwalk and 100th Street in Urbandale. Villaggio Italian Restaurant.
Sponsored by Office Depot Office Max. You've had a big year, so treat yourself to great deals on tech and furniture at Office Depot Office Max. You deserve it. Office Depot Office Max, taking care of business.
Cumulus Media Des Moines encourages you to shop local, buy local this holiday season. Our local businesses are the lifeblood of our communities and a major driving force for the local economy, contributing to the tax base, which in turn supports our schools and helps to keep our infrastructure updated. Money spent locally supports all of us here and is very important to maintaining our way of life. 1700 KBGG encourages you to shop local this holiday season. Shop Local is brought to you by these fine local businesses: Bridal Forum, Hilltop Tire Service, and Connet Services Heating and Cooling.
Menards Christmas Catalog is a wonderland of holiday savings. Give your entire kitchen a new look for the holidays with a smudge-proof black stainless appliance suite from Frigidaire Gallery. It includes a French door refrigerator, 8-cycle dishwasher, electric range, and over-the-range microwave. Holiday priced at just $2,999. Save over $1,695. Offers good through December 2nd. Plus, a Menards gift card is always a great gift idea.
Warm season's greetings to you all from Menards.
Running low on the stuff you need? Time for a Target run. We're here for all the big moments and the little ones, too. Like Thanksgiving go time. Now through Wednesday, get a free $10 gift card when you spend $50 on food and beverages, including Butterball turkey for only 99 cents a pound. For leftovers, because they're going to happen, stock up on Glad or Reynolds Wrap for just $2.99. Get in, out, and on your way. Target run and done. Pricing may vary. Restrictions may apply.
The Home Depot has holiday inflatables. Tons of holiday inflatables. And because Black Friday savings have already started, you can get 25% off over 30 of your favorite holiday characters. Nobody has more outdoor holiday yard decor. Together, we're going all out to the front yard. With 25% off holiday inflatables, The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Offer valid November 16th through 22nd. Limit 3 per customer. See store for details.
Are you sick of the same old tired lunches, leftovers, bad drive-thru options? Food Dudes Delivery has your answer. Food Dudes delivers for restaurants that don't offer delivery all across the Des Moines metro. Order online at fooddudesdelivery.com and get out of the lunch rut today with Food Dudes Delivery. Place your order for lunch today, dinner tonight, or your office tomorrow at fooddudesdelivery.com. That's fooddudesdelivery.com.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company, and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we don't just show up with a dumpster and trailer in your driveway. We arrive with a business card in hand, ready to take care of your home. Whether it's a simple roof repair, a complete re-roofing project, or a new construction project, Wolf Construction can handle the job. Call Wolf Construction at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. We're a roofing machine.
You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
All right, everybody, we continue on all the way till 6 o'clock, and then after Trent and I are finished, it's Monday Night Football in a dandy Atlanta and Seattle. Chris Dobertine is our guest, SB Nation. We do some college basketball bracketology with Chris. Always good to get him on the show. How are you, man?
Just getting ready for this busy week that we have ahead of us, just kind of easing into things with Wichita State and Cal right now.
That's a dandy game. Wichita State has a couple of players. I think they have at least three that I've been told from some scouts that they believe all three would have a chance to make it in professional basketball. So how good then is Wichita State?
It's funny that you bring this up because I actually got an email from a reader today asking why I only have Wichita State as a 5 seed in my preseason bracket. And yeah, I think Wichita State is capable of being, you know, a 1 or a 2 seed. But with the conference move, I wanted to dial things back a little bit because, you know, it's a higher level of competition in the American than they've been used to in the Valley over the past few years. There's a lot more travel involved in the American than there is in the Valley. The schedule's a little bit more, you know, helter-skelter for television purposes. So I really kind of want to see how they, you know, react to that before really kind of anointing them as a 1 or a 2 seed. And I also kind of wanted to see what they do out in Maui. And so far, you know, to the first, you know, 15 minutes of this game, they've got a little bit of work to do, but they definitely have the talent there. The NBA scouts were all there today. They definitely have the talent to get there, but it's a matter of actually being able to adjust to those higher expectations.
Well, and you mentioned kind of the change in schedule and how that can impact college teams. And we see it before, and we're going to see it this year from a team right there in your hometown of Chicago, Northwestern. Mm-hmm. As they're not playing at Welsh Ryan, they're undergoing renovations this year. So they got to play at the old Allstate Center, the old DePaul home gym. And because of that, certainly throws a wrench. Do you think that's going to make a major impact, a small impact? How is that going to help or hurt Northwestern, more than likely hurt, in your mind this season?
Well, I can give you a little bit of first-hand experience with this because getting to Welsh Ryan is difficult enough, especially if you live downtown Chicago like I do. But getting to Rosemont is completely, you know, it's a completely different animal in terms of being worse. It's a full 5-hour commitment, really, 4 or 5 hour commitment to get up there for a game, and that could, you know, draw attendance down. I think that, you know, granted they're allowing students, you know, shuttles and all that to get them there, but I'm really concerned that they're going to have issues with attendance, especially for, you know, games not against the top-tier teams. Like, they had a really good crowd against Creighton, than what they had against Loyola on opening night, which was a game I went to. When you get into the Big Ten schedule and you get, you know, gaps between, I'm not sure if they actually play Rutgers at home this year, but, you know, it's different, you know, having Michigan State and Purdue versus teams like, you know, Rutgers and, you know, Illinois this year. Illinois will be an early test. That'll be a good kind of measuring stick for in terms of attendance, with Illinois probably being a bit down this year. Penn State, you know, teams like that. You know, how are they going to react? How are those fans going to react? Are they going to make the trip out there for those games? And, you know, the atmosphere at Welsh Ryan is very different. You know, it's a nice, intimate environment. And Allstate, you know, it's surprisingly good, but it's not that. And it's even going to be even worse if they don't actually have people in the stands.
Chris Dougherty is our guest. We're doing some college basketball bracketology as the season is underway. Chris, Iowa played 3 dog teams early and then got beat today by the Raging Cajuns in the opening round of the tournament in the Cayman Islands. Trent has made some very good points about when you play a lousy non-conference schedule, that gets looked at when push comes to shove where teams are very similar. With that loss and that lousy schedule, is there line of opportunity now really slim?
Yeah, it really is, because now you look at what's going to happen. They're going to play South Dakota State, who's not an at-large threat, tomorrow. They're going to probably end up playing a team like, if they lose that game, they end up getting Richmond, who lost to Jacksonville State last week, got blown out, you know, on their home floor on a Monday holiday afternoon game. You look what they have. They have Virginia Tech coming up in the ACC Challenge next week. Then you have your, and this is the other thing that really hurts about playing those 3 cupcakes early on. When you had that early Big Ten schedule, I think there was a reliance on using the Cayman Islands and that to really get them ready, you know, for Penn State and Indiana in a couple of weeks. But now you're not there because you're not getting that game with Cincinnati, you know, potentially on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So I think that really that was a major miscalculation on Fran McCaffrey's part, because that schedule really set them up for a lot of pain, you know, further down the road. And you know, 341, 342, and 344 in KenPom is not going to get you many at-large looks when you can't take care of the opportunities that you get the week afterward, which they obviously didn't today.
And Iowa's still on tap. Later in December, they'll have Southern and Southern Utah, 2 dog teams on top of it. Well, one of the teams that people a week ago were wondering, are they going to be hurting the Iowa non-conference streak to schedule? The Iowa State Cyclones, all they do is go down to South Carolina, win 3 straight games, and after losing to UW-Milwaukee, Cyclone fans are excited once again. Tell us a little bit more. The wins against Appalachian State, Tulsa, and Boise, all solid wins, right?
They're okay. Appalachian State going into that event, I mean, the best thing they had on their mark was a 100-point win over a team from the NAI.
Right.
So that really, you know, that really wasn't all that helpful. Tulsa's going to be down this year, I think. Boise State, I think, was the one game that I would hold out hope for as being good for the Cyclones long term, because I think that Boise State team's pretty good. They're 86th right now in KenPom, but I think they could end up potentially being a top 50 or 60 team in that metric somewhere along the line. But, yeah, that field was not great. South Carolina getting, you know, knocked out early didn't really help, you know, help things out. But, you know, at least it got Steve Prom's team kind of back, you know, back on the winning track and got them a little bit of confidence coming in. And they got a couple of easy games coming up with Western Illinois and Northern Illinois before they actually have to, you know, welcome the Hawkeyes to town.
We're having a good conversation right now with Chris Dougherty, SB Nation, and college basketball bracketology. Okay, so here we go. There are some really good tournaments right now. In Hawaii, there are some great tournaments with top teams participating. Are you in the group where it's Duke, Arizona, Kansas, those teams, are they solidly locked in, or do you have somebody else sliding in, say, to your top five?
I think this week is really going to have a lot to say about that. The battle for Atlantis, I think, is a tournament that really is kind of flying under the radar, probably because of that Philline Invitational really taking up so much of ESPN's time on Thursday, Friday, and then on Sunday. But you potentially have Villanova and Arizona. When I was doing my preseason bracket, you know, I had Arizona on the top line. Then I got down to that two line, and it's like, I have Kentucky and Villanova down here. And those are two teams that really, you know, if things break right, they really have a great shot to get up there. So right there, I mean, if Villanova and Arizona both make that final on Friday, that potentially is a tiebreaker game for a number one seed. I think the Duke really could be tested potentially if Florida can get out and meet them in the final on Sunday. I think Florida's side of the bracket's a little more difficult with potentially meeting Gonzaga on day two, provided they get past Stanford on Thanksgiving night. But Duke should really probably be able to get past, you know, whoever, you know, Butler or Texas, whichever team they get on Friday. And I think that the other side, with North Carolina anchoring that victory bracket, I think that they really have a great shot to kind of put themselves out there, because that's a field that, you know, North Carolina, Michigan State again is a team that's kind of everybody has up there 1, 2, or 3 right now. You know, North Carolina's going to be a very nice test for them potentially on Sunday night.
That tournament, you and I also involved Drake with a couple of nice victories. We're not going to quiz you on Drake making the NCAA tournament. We're not going to go down that route with you. But, hey, what other team that was playing in that tournament, the Paradise Jam with Drake, Colorado? Mentioned I was going to see them a little bit later on. Colorado, mm-hmm. Are they a bubble-ish type of team? Got to give us a quick scouting report on the Buffaloes.
Yeah, I think they can be, because really at this point, I mean, I'm loath to eliminate any power conference team that's not named Rutgers from the bubble picture this early. But honestly, to me, they're one of those teams that I think that really the quality of that field really helped them get those three wins. I mean, they barely got past Quinnipiac mm-hmm. in the first round. I mean, they barely got out of that game. So, you know, they have a couple of games coming up. They got Colorado State on the road, and Colorado State got crashed in two games in Jamaica over the weekend, which that game is probably not going to be as important as I thought it was going to be, but it's going to be in Fort Collins, and Colorado plays Xavier, you know, roughly 2 weeks before that game against Iowa in Sioux Falls. So I think that's one of those games that I think that you want to keep an eye on. If they can actually do something against Xavier in Cincinnati, you know, there might be something there.
Always good, pal, when we get you on the show. Trust me, it won't be the last time. You'll get sick and tired of taking our phone call, but we always appreciate you.
I'm glad that you guys have me on consistently.
Thanks, Chris. We'll talk again soon. Chris Dobertine, SB Nation, the website, blogging the bracket. And Jimmy B, with all these tournaments going on, of course, Maui, mm-hmm. we know Maui's always on, but there's so many of them. Chris has everything set up. You can see day after day, he'll have a recap of everything. He'll have the games coming up the next day. College Basketball Junkies, bloggingthebracket.com. Go there. You're not going to find any better content than what Chris dishes out each and every single day. 1 hour in the books, one more to go. We got Mitch Sherman in hour number two, talking Big 12 football. Ryan Van Bibber on the NFL, all to come here on Jimmy B and TC.
Hey, it's Tiki Barber.
And Brandon Tierney.
We are Tiki and Tierney, giving you the big scoop on all the games. Afternoons on the Big Talker, 1700 KBGG. Boom.
Are you in the mood for real, classic, homemade Italian food? Well, I have the spot for you. It's Villaggio. Two locations. The newest location in Urbandale, 2675 100th Street. The original in Norwalk. Classic dishes like cavatelli, spaghetti, lasagna, and vodka rigatoni. Top-notch pizza and awesome sandwiches. A great happy hour and Italian done right. Villaggio.
Since 1993, Wolf Construction has been Des Moines' choice for residential and commercial roofing. From complete re-roofing to small leaks, call Wolf Construction at 225-8866 for your roofing needs. Call 225-8866 to set up your roofing consultation or online at wolfconstruction.net. That's wolfconstruction.net
for Wolf Construction. A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. WolfConstruction.net.
Kate here with Food Dudes Delivery. Are you tired of the same old delivery options? Food Dudes Delivery can solve that problem for you. We deliver for restaurants that don't do delivery. Order through us at fooddudesdelivery.com. Place your order for lunch today, dinner tonight, or your office party tomorrow at fooddudesdelivery.com.
Sponsored by Office Depot Office Max. You've had a big year, so treat yourself to great deals on tech and furniture at Office Depot Office Max. You deserve it. Office Depot Office Max, taking care of business.
Kevin Harlan and Hall of Fame quarterback Kurt Warner here from Westwood One with a preview of Monday Night Football brought to you by Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry. Turning feelings into jewelry. That's why he went to Jared. Hey, Kurt, a very interesting game coming up from Seattle. 6-3 Seahawks against the 5-4 Falcons.
An exciting game that could have huge playoff implications. And you got a Seattle team that's coming off an injury to Richard Sherman. How do they respond to that? Offensively, it's been all about Russell Wilson. Can they find a way to generate some offense somewhere else? And then the Atlanta Falcons, huge win this past week against the Dallas Cowboys. Will that get them back to Super Bowl form?
All right, always loud and crazy in Seattle. Join us for the Falcons at the Seahawks on Monday Night Football.
Remember to listen to Westwood One's coverage of the NFL all season long. Right here on the Big Talker, 1700 KBGG.
Motor oil keeps your engine running at peak performance. Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, save on your next oil change when you purchase 5 quarts of Pennzoil high mileage motor oil and a MicroGuard filter for the price of Pennzoil conventional, just $24.99. Save big with Pennzoil oil at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Right now at the Home Depot, get your choice of select Milwaukee power tools for just $99. That's a pro Black Friday price, well ahead of Black Friday. Milwaukee means top-of-the-line, pro-grade tools. And right now, you can get exactly the right tool for the job or the Christmas tree. So hurry. The holidays will be gone before you know it. So will these. Select Milwaukee power tools, now just $99. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through November 29th, U.S. only while supplies last.
Me, 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 me.
Take a guess, who's the master of holiday giving?
Me, 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 me.
Because he went to Jared and gave her the unforgettable gift of Pandora. Jared is the place to discover the entire world of Pandora. And right now, when you buy two regularly priced Pandora gifts, you get a third Pandora gift free. The holiday gift that completely crushes it. That's why he went to Jared. Some exclusions apply. See Jared.com for details.
Computer, execute 12.4p operation.
Optimizing algorithm. Running encryption packet alpha. Night. Oh, I don't feel so good.
What? What is it, computer?
Is it hot in here? It feels hot in here. I feel a little clammy. I should lie down or something.
A computer with a virus? Surprising. What's not surprising? How much you could save by switching to Geico.
Those oysters Rockefeller were a mistake.
Geico.